are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we have special guests. The Burchetts give us an update on their mission life and also give us a message on how to live missionally inside of our city.
Thank you, church family. I just asked Janet to come up with me and share a word of greetings to you guys and encouragement before the message.
Hello, bom dia, tudo bem? Sou Janete, queria agradecer a todos vocês. Há brasileiro aqui? Não? Ai! So that was Portuguese. Oh, outro também. That was Portuguese for just saying, good morning, everybody. How are you? I'm Janet, and I just want to thank all of you, from all of our family to all of you. There they are, and there they are, our kids, Josiah, Chloe, Joanna, the youngest, who's actually like half Brazilian. She was born there in Brazil. And we just wanted to thank all of you, Portland Christian Center. This is really home for us. You know, missionaries, we live in many different places. Since May, we've probably been in 10 different homes while we've been traveling here in the States. But for home for us, when people ask us, is Portland Christian Center. And you guys are our family, even from thousands of miles away, just south of the equator in the Amazon jungle. We feel that connection, that you guys are praying for us. We're thankful for your support. And we are just so grateful for the family of God, that koinonia, that fellowship that we only have together as children of God, as the family of God. And we just want to thank you for that. It is so awesome for us to be here. And, you know, I'm trying not to cry like I did in the first service, but we are just blessed to even receive. We've been able to be here a couple Sundays while we've been stateside. And sometimes, if it's okay to say this, like missionaries, we also need to be ministered to. And so for us to be here, to sit in a service, to receive teaching from our pastors, for our kids to be in a fabulous Sunday school program, like this is top-notch here. In Brazil, we say topi. It is amazing. And for my youngest to be in a professional nursery, I mean, this is like a day off. It's awesome to come to church and be blessed. So thank you. Thank you, Portland Christian Center. Also, I just want to share, before I pass this microphone on to Cameron, that while we've been praying this week over the message, praying for this church, praying for this city, praying for this nation and for our world, which so desperately needs Jesus right now, so desperately needs hope, so desperately needs meaning and peace, I just feel like I have a word for maybe someone here today, as you're hearing about the go in gospel, as you're being called to go, to have your heart open as you're listening to this message, to not count yourself out. Sometimes as missionaries, people say to us a lot, oh, I'm so glad that you guys do that. You're so courageous. I could never do what you do. And that is not true. We all have different callings. You might not be called to do what we do, but we are just human beings. We are not perfect. If anybody thought that we were, which I highly doubt it. But just to let you know that in God's kingdom, if you are following God, you have his spirit in you, you are his child, you are called, you are chosen, you are anointed, and everybody has a call, and God is calling each and every one of us. And today, I believe, I have the faith for you that God is going to speak to you if you are willing to hear what he is asking you to do. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Doesn't matter. You don't need a special resume. You already have it. You're one of his kids. Listen today and let his spirit speak to your heart.
Amen. Wow. My beautiful wife and friend and amazing partner on the mission field and family. It's just, she's amazing. She's a rock house for Jesus down in Brazil. And she's right. We love you guys. We love you guys so much. And we miss you. We miss you guys as we're there, and we can't thank you enough for the words of encouragement, your ongoing support, your love, your just the way that you minister our family is like no other. And so we are so blessed by you guys and so grateful. Well, if you don't know us or don't know by now, we're the Burchetts and we serve in the Amazon jungle. We serve in the city of Manaus. It's a city of 2 million located in the heart of the Amazon jungle. The only way in is by boat or by plane. There's no main freeway to get there, so it's isolated and remote. And currently in Brazil today, there are over 164 unreached people groups in the Amazon and throughout Brazil. And what that means, unreached, is they have less than 2% of the gospel presence in their community, tribe, village, or people group. It means they have no missionary, they have no scripture, they don't have any church. They have never heard the good news of Jesus like we get to hear today. It means that they will be born, they'll live, and they will die, and they will have never heard the great name of Jesus Christ. And there's 164 of them of diverse culture and languages that are still out there and that need to hear the good news of Jesus. God's called our family to go and to work among them. The next slide is a map. You can see kind of where they're spread out throughout Brazil. This is about the size. Brazil's about the size of the United States or Australia. Big country. And these represent the 164 that are still unreached. Our vision as we work there is to work with the migrating indigenous who come into the city centers. You see, there's a phenomenon that's happening in Brazil right now. There's over 50% that are actually leaving their villages, and they're migrating into the main city urban areas in looking for hope, looking for education or new jobs for their family. And as they come in, they get pushed to the outskirts of the city. And our mission, our vision, is to disciple them, to train them, to work with powering and raising up indigenous leaders to go out into the further areas of these 164 that are still out there unreached. And God's doing it. We launched our first one in January of this year, a family of 7 that went back to an unreached village. God is good. And we're training up leaders throughout Manaus. And it's exciting. And I get really excited about this passage in Mark 6. Because this is what Jesus is all about. Jesus is a go. He's missional. He wants to send out these disciples. Before we read the script, before we look at the scripture, I just wanted to say a prayer. Heavenly Father, you are here today with us. We thank you so much, God, that you are a loving Father who cares about those unreached people that are in the Amazon jungles, that are wandering around looking for their Savior. They're wandering around looking for their God, and they haven't found him yet. And we pray, Lord God, that you would raise up more people to go to them. We pray, Lord God, that the gospel would take root among the migrating indigenous that are in Manaus. And Lord God, we pray for the unreached of the world who have not heard your name. Pray for this message today. We pray, God, that we would be go people. Lord, that we would go into our communities and we would share the good name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in this passage, he has been walking with his disciples for about 2 years. And he's getting ready to do this trial period where he's just going to launch them out. And there's not a lot of them. There's 12. So it's just like 6 groups going out. And he sends them out 2 by 2. Now, I get 2 by 2. Because in the line of work that we do, we go into these favelas or slums or drug trafficking areas. And you don't want to go alone. It's nice to go with somebody else. 2, when you go with somebody else, you're actually bringing credibility to the message that you're bringing. There's somebody else that's walking with you in that message. And then the 3rd one, it's nice for encouragement. Because how many times do we go through something, you're working through something, and you're alone, and you need somebody to just pick you up and say, listen, you can do this. We're going to keep walking in this. We can do it. As Pastor Ray says, stones are thrown, right? I got hit with a stone in a village. It's nice to know somebody else got hit with one too. It's like, we got to do this together. And then he says, I'm giving you power over authority and spirits. So listen, there was nothing in the disciples that they had in themselves that could actually do this. It was all about Jesus' empowerment And them watching what he had done and saying, now I give you all authority and power, go and do likewise. And then he says, you know, don't take anything with you. It's like, how great is that? You know, 19 bags going down to Brazil. It's like, what? But when he goes into these villages, he's saying, don't take much with you. Because what happens, he's trying to tell them, don't worry about your bread. Don't worry about carrying money. Because I am your father and I will provide for you. You can trust in me. Wherever you go, I will make sure your needs are met. And in the culture, the Jewish culture, Eastern Mediterranean Jewish culture, they're a very hospitable culture. So when you came to them, they would normally receive you. And normally when you came to their house, you'd walk in and your feet would be really dirty from walking the roads. And so what they'd do is they'd take a water basin and they'd start washing your feet. One, so the house doesn't get dirty. I think it was more about the housekeeper than anybody. You know, it's like, so the house doesn't get dirty, but they out of hospitality, they would start washing your feet and clean you. And that's what he says later. He says, they don't just shake the dust off your feet and walk out of the village. But what he says to them is that I see really important in this passage. He says, when you get to this village, the first house that you come to, I want you to rest your peace there. I want you to stay there. I don't want you to go from house to house to house. Now, if the house doesn't welcome you, you kind of have to go to a new house. It's going to be awkward. You know, we don't want you here. But if there's a house that welcomes you, when you come and you share the word shalom, which is peace, and they welcome that peace, then he says, I want you to stay there. I don't want you to go from house to house. Now, see, going to house in a village like where we work, it creates jealousy. And it also creates confusion. Because they're such a relational people that they know when you get to one house, you need to stay there and build relationship and stay there. And then out of that relationship, the rest of the community gets to know whatever you're bringing. So that's the importance of the gospel. Is that when you get to a reputable house, or in like Matthew 10, 5 through 15 is the correlation verses that go with this. He says, let your peace rest there, because he knows that the power of the gospel will then be multiplied through this family that's there. 2014, you guys launched us out on a vision trip to go into Manaus. Some of you may have been on that trip with us. And it was an awesome trip. And I remember meeting with Pastor Ray ahead of time, and he just said, you know, before you go, I want you to consider a couple things. I want you to consider, what is the opportunity of church planting in this place? And we know nothing about really what's going on with these migrating people. And two, I just want you to pray over the confirmation of your calling. And as we boarded that plane and we started heading into Manaus, I remember also praying, God, is there a person of peace out there that you could link us up with? Because we really don't know what we're doing. Shh, don't tell anybody. And we arrive in Manaus, and our team split off. One half of the team went to an orphanage. The other half went with us, and we got in a car and started going to the outskirts of Manaus to these little invasion areas. And as we get to this one community, we talk to the guide, and the guide says, listen, don't get out of the car. I want you to stay in the car because this is a drug trafficking community, and they're very violent. And right now, there's a major conflict over land rights, and they want to kick out some branco or white guy that's in the bottom of their camp. So just stay in the car and pray. Said, I can do that. I can stay in the car, no problem. So we're praying, right? And what do the disciples do? They're praying over spirits, dark spirits that are in that place. So we start praying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just pray against the dark forces that are here in the Amazon that would prevent these people from hearing the gospel. And as we're praying, the guy rips open the door and he says, get out of the car. And we're like, where are we going? And he goes, they're all at the bottom of the hill. They're all yelling and it's crazy and stuff, but up here, there's a place where we want to plant a church, and I just want you to come over and see it and pray over it. And we go, okay. So we get out, we start walking over there, and as we begin to pray, we hear gunshots. So it's like, back to the car. I don't know about you, I'm going back to that car. And as we're going back to the car, the guide comes up with us, and there's an indigenous guy that comes running up to our guide and starts talking to him, and then he turns to me, the guide says, hey, you want to go down there? Hey, buddy, you just told me that there was drug trafficking. It's a violent community. They're all painted up in war paint. They're armed, and they want to kill a white guy. You think I want to go down there? That was what was going on in my head, but you know what went in my heart? I just said, yeah, let's go. I was like, what am I thinking? Janet gave me some crazy look, like, what are we doing? And I remember walking down this hill, and it was like coming around this corner. It was like walking out of a time machine, walking 300 years ago. And all these indigenous are in war paint with spears and bow and arrows and machetes, 50 to 100 of them. And I'm thinking, what the heck are we doing here? And as we come down, I see this leader kind of walk to the stage, and he gets up there and he says, I am not afraid to stand up for the rights of my people. I'm not afraid to die for this cause. I will protect our land rights, and I will do whatever it takes to stand up for you. I've been put in prison 2 times for this cause, and I am not afraid to be put in prison again or to even die for this. And I just looked at this guy, this leader, and I was like, can you imagine if that guy got the gospel? Can you imagine the power instead of just saying, I stand for this cause of land rights, but I stand for the truth of Jesus Christ, which actually gives hope in a dying world? And it was in that moment that the Holy Spirit came upon me. Nothing weird, just the Spirit spoke to me. And he spoke to Janet right behind me. She was like this. Right behind me. And he said, these are the people I want you to work among. I want your peace to remain here among the migrating indigenous. You see, in 2015, we went off to language school, confirmation of our calling, and we were okay. We made it. We're alive, right? We made it out of the village alive. 2015, we went to language school. 2017, we come back to Manaus, land there, and now we're embarking on ministry. And I'm driving around the city, and I'm praying, where do we go, God? Because what happened is in this community, the drug traffickers and drug lords took over the city, over this village. They kicked out the church planter that was there, and they took over and started using the church for their own benefit. So the door was closed. We couldn't go back there. So I began praying and thinking about these verses in Mark and just like, you're already working, God. You're already working in this place. You're already ministering in these communities. So show me the person of peace. Show me somebody that I can intersect with, that you're already working in their lives. You're already doing something. And I can meet up with them. And I'm driving around the city just praying this. And one of my friends, who is also a pastor there in Brazil, handed me this contact. And his name, and he gave us a contact of this guy named Chief Andre. Chief Andre lives a little further out than the other community. Lives on one of the tributaries. And I remember the first time pulling into his village, I pulled in and he rolled out. I was like, what was that all about? See, in Brazil, it's not a task-based culture. In the tribal culture, it's even more relational. So you have to build relationships with these people. So the second time I met him, I was like, is he going to stay? And he stayed. And he said, listen, Cameron, as we began to build relationships, he said, I have been praying for you guys. See, I've been praying that a missionary would come and begin to do evangelism and discipleship in our community. Would you guys consider that? You just took away 3 years of work, buddy. You see, Andre's story is quite unique because at 17 years old, Andre left the deep, remote areas of the Amazon, like those unreached, and he moved in to the city of Manaus. And as he moved into the city, in hopes of a better education and work, he found himself with neither. Discrimination, high discrimination. He got involved in drug trafficking. Became an alcoholic. Angry land rights politician. Became one of the leaders for Manaus in regards to land rights. I mean, just to give you an idea of, like, invasion areas, In Manaus alone, there's over 849 areas of invasion every year. We call invasions, it's like squatters, but they do it in like hundreds. And he was this leader over these indigenous. He would abandon his family many times for these causes. You see, Andre, one of these pastor's friends of ours, started going to his village and just started loving on him. Just showing the love of Jesus. Bring him a chicken, bring him something, but just started loving on him. And one day he comes and he says, "Hey, I'd like to invite you, Andre, to this indigenous Christian conference that's happening kind of upriver about 2 or 3 days. And I was wondering if you wanted to go. They're having a big powwow. It's going to be fun. Christians coming from all over, indigenous, your brothers, they're coming. Would you like to go to that?" And Andre's like, "No thanks. I don't want to go to that. We'll pay for your passage. You say it's free?" "Say it's free? Well, I'm there." Now see, Andre, he does like what that henna stuff. You know, like henna only lasts for like a little while and then it's gone. Well, he does war paint like that. Amazing designer. So he's like, "I'm going to take advantage of these guys, all these Christians that are coming in. They're going to love them. They're indigenous. They're going to want war paint. So I'm going to go and I'll just set up a booth and do war paint with them. They'll get in line and I'll be charging them a buck. I'll make bank on this." So he goes on this 3-day trip, goes in there, and these Christian believers from different areas, new believers, because the gospel's so new in the Amazon region, they start coming in and they see this, "Oh, this guy does war paint." So they get in line. And he says, "Cameron, this was absolutely the worst business deal I've ever done. Because these indigenous, they got in line and they started telling me about how Jesus transforms lives and how he transformed their life. And the whole time I'm just weeping and wiping all the paint everywhere." And he said, "It was at that moment, Cameron, that I realized I can be indigenous and be Christian at the same time. That I don't have to give up my culture and who I am to be Christian. That it's not just a white man's gospel. It's for me too. He's a God of this world." And he said, "I want to take this gospel back to my family." And it was at that moment that he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Amen? Andre was not even welcomed back by his wife. Wanted nothing to do with him. Because of all the times that he had abandoned the family. But he said, "Please listen to me. The Andre that left is not the same Andre that's coming back." And we have walked with him now for 2 years in mentorship. And seeing God do this amazing transformation in this guy's life. See, he came back, and we arrived shortly after he had given his life to Jesus. And on the next slide, you'll see that now we have planted a church together with them and others in that village. In Portland Christian Center, you guys were a part of building that church. Thank you. Thank you for your investment. Andre is one of the leaders of the Manaus Evangelical Indigenous Network with us. We serve together as a leadership, working with tribes that come all over from all different areas of Manaus, and we come together. And now he's a missionary. He has got his diploma, and he's being sent out into different areas now to minister, as well as ministering to his own church. It's kind of like Ray. He's like tenor. He's all over the place. And it was funny because as this is him getting that... You realize this hard leader being softened by the Holy Spirit. And last August, we've been working together for a while, and we're taking this American couple back from working in one of the jungle villages with us, and we're coming back. And as we're coming back, the American couple's like, "Can you tell us your story?" And I'm like, "Oh, no, this is going to be like 5 hours. Missionaries talk forever." So, sorry. Bad. That was bad. And he starts sharing his story. And he gets to this point, and he says, "I used to be a land rights activist. I used to be a political leader in Manaus." And he says, "You know, I was even in jail twice for all of this." And when he said that, I remember back to that time when this leader was in the village, like Andre. And he goes, "I was in prison twice for this." I said, Andre, I was in this community about 2014, I think it was. And I remember a guy just like you, almost exact story, that said he was in prison twice for land rights. He said, that was me. That was me. And I remember you and Janet coming around the corner that day. And we were all wondering why you guys were there. You see, folks, God can change the hardest of hearts. Currently, there are over 100 people groups in the Amazon who have no access to the gospel. Who's going to go to them? And maybe you're here today and God's speaking to you. Maybe I'm supposed to go. Or maybe you're supposed to come on a short-term trip with do a building team or come down and visit us. But there's unreached out there and they need to hear the good news of Jesus. Not just in Brazil, all over the world. Let your hearts be open to how God would speak to you if you're called to go. But the next thing I want you to know is this. Who's going to go to them? Who's going to go to the people of Portland, Oregon? You see, Andre's story is not so different than the people we live among here in Portland, Oregon. With all the polarized views that we have, the bitterness that we have in our hearts, with all these extreme, when you're a leftist or rightist or in the center or you don't even play. You see, the problem is we've stopped talking to people because our views are what cover our hearts. We've stopped sharing with the people of Portland because we're so caught up in our own views. You guys, we don't have to give away our views, but we do have to meet people where they're at and what they're going through. See, when we look at these verses, Jesus is sending out his disciples. And as he's sending him out, do you know where he sends them first? He sends out the 12, and then he sends out it's like the first launching, the 12, and then the 70, and then he sends them out on the ascension. But the first 12, you know where he sends them? He sends them to Portland, Oregon. He sends them to the Jews. He sends them to the house of Israel. You know why? Because he knows they need to be missional there first, before they could ever go anywhere else. That they need to love their families. That they need to care for their families. That they need to enter into somebody's world that looks completely different than your own. And he knew that the disciples needed to do that with the Jews that were rejecting them. He says, I send you as sheep among wolves. And you are sheep that are going among wolves in Portland, Oregon. But I want to talk about this with you as we look at the next slide, the next one. You see, you can't send anybody out unless you're in them. You have to be connected to them to be able to send out. And I want to encourage you that as you go with Jesus, as you go with Christ, you must abide in him. This is what has baffled me as I've been on this furlough and traveling through different parts of the United States, is how quickly we as Christians are abandoning the Word of God. We say, you know what? The Word of God really just doesn't have any, it doesn't do anything for me anymore. You know, I like to read other books, but the Word of God, the Bible, doesn't really have any, just doesn't do anything for me anymore. It'd be like me saying, I really want to get to know Janet. I'd really like to get to know her more, have a better relationship, more intimacy. I would like to do that with Janet, but I just don't like to talk to her anymore. Just doesn't do anything for me anymore. So what I've done is just kind of, I go around to my different friends and I begin talking to them and say, what do you think about Janet, Janetology, you know? It's like, What do you think about? Okay, yeah, that's true. I'm going to go think about that. I'm not going to talk to her, but I'm just going to think, you know, how come I can't experience Janet anymore in my life? Well, this is what we're doing with God. We're saying, I don't want to be in your word anymore. Well, how are you going to hear his voice if you don't enter his word anymore? We have got to come back to the word and let the word of God penetrate our hearts. Reveal the idolatries in our hearts. Cleanse us. Fill us. And then go out. We can't go out until we're in him. And then don't go alone. How many of you here today have sin in your lives? You don't have to raise your hand. I hope everybody does. We all have sin. And sometimes we come on Sundays and we look around and pretend, you know, I look nice today and so I don't got sin in my life. And we try to pretend that we don't have sin. But listen, we're broken people. And we got messy lives. And we need each other. And we weren't meant to do church alone. We were meant to do church together. We were meant to be missional together. You know, my six-year-old, she said to me the other day, she said, Dad, we're Christianaries. I was like, what? Chloe, we're Christianaries, Dad. I was like, Josiah says, no, we're not. Chloe, it's Christian and missionary. Just to separate the two, it's Christian and missionary. She said, Christian. I said, we are Christianaries. You see, we are followers of Christ on mission with God. We are Christianaries. That is what we are. And that's what we're called to. And when we go, Jesus will empower us. Go to the next slide. But before we go into Intel, into Nike, into our accounting jobs, working with our marketing team, our design teams, that fast food restaurant, maybe visiting your neighbor. You see, we're supposed to think about and care about our hearts and our soul first and remember if that's in the right spot. Because sometimes we let things of false worship enter into our hearts. You know what Jesus said? He said, I don't want you to take any money bags. I don't want you to take a shirt. I don't want you to take any food. Because I don't want you to have idolatry in your heart. I want you to know that I will provide for you and I'm enough. And Jesus Christ is enough for us. He is absolutely enough for us. But we need to come back and check. So when I go into the office and I'm thinking about that leftist view that was presented on Facebook the other day, listen, put it away and engage again with the people that are sitting around you and just love on them. Just love on them again. Show them the Jesus that's in you. Be genuine. Unconditionally, just reach out to them. And watch, because Jesus has placed men of peace all around you. See, we think that in this post-Christian America that we think we're living in, we think it's too hard. We think it's too hard to reach out now. Guys, you know what's happening? It's Portland Christian Center still here. And you're still here. And you still love Jesus. So you know what? We can get out there and make a difference. And if we don't, who's going to do it? Who's going to make a difference in Portland, Oregon? If it's not us. Let's go. I want to read this quote to you by Brennan Manning. The ministry of evangelization is an extraordinary opportunity of showing gratitude to Jesus by passing on his gospel of grace to others. However, the conversion by concussion method, with one sledgehammer blow of the Bible after another, betrays a basic disrespect for the dignity of the other and is utterly alien to the gospel imperative to bear witness. To evangelize a person is to say to him or her, you too are loved by God in the Lord Jesus. And not only to say it, but to really think it and relate it to that man or woman so they can sense it. This is what it means to announce the good news. But folks, this is it right here. But that becomes possible only by offering the person your friendship. A friendship that is real, unselfish, without condescension, full of confidence, and profound esteem. And how many of the people in our jobs do we think about, man, I could never engage with this person because of what they think or what they believe. But how are they supposed to believe any different unless we engage with them? And we love them. At closing, as the worship team comes, I was flying into on a layover in Miami, and a good friend of mine from high school was picking me up, and he went from kind of the rags to riches. He became one of these top, he's like multimillionaire now. And his wife's basically, she speaks to NASA. And they just recently got married, and he wanted to introduce me to his wife, so they picked me up on this layover, and they pull up in this Audi R8. I didn't even know those existed. It's like, I've been in the Amazon way too long. This thing is beautiful. And they pick me up in this car, and they take me to their house, and it's just like this multi-million dollar home. And I'm like, just stay in the night. And as we're sitting there, and I'm talking to this, you know, Forbes executive, and she's standing there, she says, why the Amazon? So my friend had told her that I was a missionary. She was freaked out. She just freaked out. Is this guy going to try to convert me? She comes from a Muslim background. And he's a declared atheist. And so I'm sitting there in their kitchen, and she says, so why the Amazon? And I said, I can't really tell you my story unless I tell you a little bit about my faith. Would you be okay with that? And I begin to tell her my story and how Christ lovingly reached out into my junk and saved me. When I got done that night, you know that fear that you do after you share somebody the gospel and you walk away and you're like, why did I do that? Never coming back. The next morning, she pulled me aside and she said this, listen, thank you so much for sharing last night. See, because I've never, ever heard about Jesus in such an attractive way. Guys, people are in your workplaces and in your neighborhoods and all over Portland that they need to hear of that Jesus in an attractive way. We can't beat them over the heads anymore, guys. We need to love them. We need to care for them. We need to minister to them. We need to walk into some messy junk and be okay with it. Because we have no fear of what our outcome is. We will be in eternity with Jesus Christ, serving him. And one day we will be standing on right before that throne in worship. And I pray many people from Portland are there with us. Amen? Stand. And as you're here and you're thinking about this, I want you guys to close your eyes and I want to think about your hearts. The Lord's speaking to you today and you're here and you're just, I want to have this Jesus in my life. I don't know who he is, but I really want to experience him here. I want to accept him into my life. If that's you today and you have never accepted Christ into your life with eyes closed, I just want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Later, I want you to tell a pastor about it or connect with somebody and tell them that today you want to know Jesus. For the rest, as we are here today, and you've sensed that I'm not called necessarily to go to the Amazon or called to go to China or called to go to the Middle East, but I live in Portland and I got a regular job. And every 9 to 5, I go into this job and I see people. And I am tired of just being nominal in my faith. I want to be a missionary in my job. I want to be a Christianary. And if that's you today, that God would awaken my heart, that he would revive me, and he'd take away those idolatries that have been covering my heart. If that's you today and you say, I want to be different in my workplace and I want to be more missional in my workplace, I just want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we pray over your people today. We pray, Lord God, that your spirit would manifest yourselves as you did before those disciples and before you launched them out back in front of the Jews. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that your anointing would fall on the people of Portland Christian Center and that they would be empowered with the gospel to go and to preach his good news in love, in compassion, in mercy among the people of Portland, Oregon. We can't do it without you, and we can't do it if we're not in you. So I pray, Father, ground us in your word and send us by your spirit, Lord, so we can make a difference in Portland, Oregon. We submit and commit our lives to you in the name of Jesus.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.